112 Ocean Avenue, or the haunted house with windows that look like eyes. Whether you believe in ghosts or not, you have heard of the Amityville Horror. A best-selling book later made into a blockbuster film is based on the true events of one family's nightmare that took place in what they thought was the house of their dreams. George and Kathy Lutz moved into 112 Ocean Avenue on December 18, 1975, and fled the house just 28 days later, leaving behind all of their belongings and never returning. The Lutzes were unaware that 13 months prior, the son of the previous owner, Ronald DeFeo, murdered all six of his family members in their sleep with a shotgun, claiming to be directed by voices in his head. George and Kathy Lutz claimed while living in the home, they witnessed apparitions, strange sounds, bleeding walls, black ooze in their toilets, a boarded up hidden room in the basement that the dog would not enter, doors and windows opening and closing themselves, and a priest who believed the house may be haunted when he experienced trouble breathing and strange voices while blessing the home. Renowned demonologists Ed and Lorraine Warren investigated the home after the family had left and were convinced the house was haunted by something demonic. They have one photograph in particular they believe is proof of such a presence. Years later, many believe that George and Kathy Lutz fabricated their whole story to gain fame and fortune, while relying on the grisly murders that took place on their property as the reason behind their paranormal experiences, while others believe their experiences to be true based on the evidence presented by the Warrens. Was this all a giant hoax, or one of the worst hauntings a family could endure? You decide. Stay with us as Redbeard examines the Amityville Horror. Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of Redbeard Examines, where we'll be discussing the Amityville Horror. My name is Tony, I'm here with my host Cooley. What's up, man?
What up?
So, the Amityville Horror, everybody knows about it. Everybody's probably seen the movie, and if you haven't, you should probably check it out. Even if you believe or don't believe in this, the movie's worth a watch because it's just a good horror movie.
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't believe, you gotta admit, this shit is entertaining.
It is. I mean, the Amityville Horror was definitely interesting to me because when I found out it was a true story, I wanted to know like more about what really happened.
Based on a true story.
Yeah, based on a true story. So Amityville is a town in New York. So it's actually not that far away. So the fact that it was kind of close by too was also interesting to me, that I could probably, in the course of a day, drive there if I really wanted to see the house in person and check it out. I mean, it wouldn't go inside, but just to say I like set foot on the property for a second would kind of be cool. I grew up not knowing much about Amityville and just kind of like watching this movie on a whim, and it scared the hell out of me. So that kind of motivated me to find out like the true story, and I've watched like a ton of documentaries on it and done my own research. So for a family to move into a house and then leave everything behind 28 days after living in a house that they thought was going to be their dream house is pretty dramatic. And my theory is that I don't think a family would do that unless something really scared the hell out of them and they really couldn't take it anymore. People would also say that they did it because it was a hoax and they're trying to gain fame and fortune from this. But let's just start off with the basics. I mean, like, you know the basics about this. What off the bat, like, grabs your attention?
What are you asking me?
I mean, is there something that stands out that interests you about this? I mean, the things that went on in the house, the things that, you know, the fact that they were only there for 28 days. Is there anything that you find interesting that you just want to, like, you want to talk about? Like first, because there's a lot of stuff.
I mean, for me, I'm gonna talk about whatever you bring up, man. Like the reality is that I watched the movie.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, it was a scary movie.
Yeah.
You're a kid, puts all kinds of little thoughts in your head, and you know, then everything that goes bump in the night is just scary and freaky, and you know, but then you grow up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then those things aren't really that scary anymore.
Well, let's do this. Let's actually start from the basics, right? Because what we do know about Amityville and the house itself is that what did happen and is true, and there are news reports regarding it, is that in 1975, there was a young man named Ronald DeFeo who literally, in the middle of the night, woke up and shot his parents and his four siblings.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters. Literally shot them with a shotgun, killed them all.
Crazy mofo.
And then when he was arrested, they asked him why he did it, and he said that there were voices in the house directing him to do that.
Right.
He felt like he was, to this day, they've done interviews with him, and he said that he remembers seeing everything that was happening, but not being able to control his actual physical motions. He was being like controlled by something else in the house. He's like, I never wanted to kill my family. I loved my family, you know, but I could not control my physical movements. Like something was controlling me. So he heard voices telling him to kill his family. So whether or not that's actually true or not, we'll never know. But that is a true story that he did kill his siblings and parents.
Right.
But one thing that they did find interesting is that in this crime scene, each person that he killed was face down in their bed, and he shot them in the back. So the fact that they were all found dead in the same position, the people thought was very odd, because they didn't wake up and look like they struggled. They were all literally face down in their beds and found shot in the back. So that's weird. I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but very strange. So that's the true events that happened on the property.
Right.
How a family, in my opinion, moves into a house without knowing that is a little odd.
Well, it's not 2018 we're talking about. There's no Google. You know what I mean? There's no like the.
It's my understanding it's a law that you have to inform people if they're buying a house if there was a murder there. And as far as I know, if somebody told me that there were six people killed in the house that I was about to move into, I probably wouldn't buy that house.
Again, it's not 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, if I'm showing a house and I'm a real estate agent and I'm trying to get some commission, I'm probably not going to mention the shit that people probably don't know about. You know what I mean? And I'm going to hedge my bets that they're not going to find out, and kind of hope that, because like, I believe, as far as I know, like this woman has been trying to sell that house, or the real estate agent was trying to sell that house for an inordinate amount of time compared to, you know, like what most houses sold for in that area. So I think they were just trying to offload that house, and they kind of did a rush job with the tour. It was just like, okay, you want to buy the house? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's my dream house. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, it's my dream house.
Yeah.
And you know, for whatever reason, the ghost took a day off, and the demon was just like, yeah, you know, I'm going to go shopping today.
Right.
And they were in there doing their little tour, and there were no voices saying, get out. Nobody. That's the thing that makes me scratch my head the most. If you don't want them in there, fucking make some noise before they buy the house.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of theories as to like why
some bullshit
certain things happen, you know, and I'm not any kind of, you know, demonologist or anything like this, but from the research that I've done, a lot of people believe that spirits or demons, basically like manifest things and materialize and gain their power or their energy from the energy of the people that are in the house. They basically prey off the energy of whoever's living there and are essentially kind of draining them and using that as their source of power. That's what research has told over and over again, that is why. Like if you have, you know, a lot of kids in the house, then they feed off that energy very easily and use that as kind of like a means to actually like manifest things and communicate in different ways. So, you know, oddly enough, when they move into the house and they're there, that's when these things start to happen. You know, I don't know if how much truth there is to that, but that's what research tells me. Okay. So, that's maybe one reason to explain that. You know, I think it's very odd though that, you know, that after people have moved into this house since then, nothing's happened. You know, like the people that are in the house now, that do live there and on that property in that house have had no occurrences of any kind. And you can chalk that up to people having different types of energy. Maybe they don't prey off that, or maybe, you know, the spirits are at rest or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you're never going to know, but it does make you question things, you know, as to did they find out that there were murders in this house, buy the house, dramatically leave everything there 28 days later, write a book about it, right? About all their occurrences. And then all of a sudden, the book is a bestseller. There's a movie made out of it. And they basically live off telling this fabricated story for the rest of their lives and making money off of it. I mean, that's one way to look at it. None of this stuff actually happened. However, there's other things that, you know, that I think are interesting. We can go back and list every single thing that they have said they've seen in this house. The bleeding walls, this pig with eyes, the, you know, the room underneath the, in the basement that was like this boarded up room that they found that the dog would not enter. You know, those are all very interesting things, but can they be proven or not? No, they're very, similar to like every other ghost story you've ever heard.
What year was
right?
this?
1975.
All right.
Right. But two things that stand out for me. The priest has been on video that was in that house that blessed the house that confirms that when he was in there, he heard voices and thought the house was actually haunted while he was blessing it and told the family that. In the movie, there's, you know, this other dramatic scene where like the demons follow him back to the church and basically like he gets blinded and all this other stuff. And that never happened. But the priest has gone on video and said, you know, that what he said, you know, that it did happen. The other thing that I find interesting is that Ed and Lorraine Warren, who we talked about numerous times on this podcast, are renowned demonologists, and this was one of the first big cases they ever actually investigated. Now, I showed you this video earlier. They went in, set up a camera, while they had a psychic and a medium there, and you know the photo was basically the camera was taking a photo basically every 2 minutes, and there's one photo that got snapped, and when you actually look at it, it looks like there's a little child's face, a little boy basically peering out from behind the staircase that looks like a legit little boy. And Ed and Lorraine Warren showed that to George Lutz, who was, you know, the owner of the house when all this stuff happened, who bought the house. And he showed that to his daughter. And his daughter said, "That is the little boy that I used to play with, like my imaginary friend that I told you I used to talk to when we lived in that house." So those two things make me question a lot of things. You know, like we could say that everything in that house is complete BS and they fabricated the story. But when you have a priest that goes on record saying that he saw things and believed the house is haunted from his experiences, and you also have a picture that, you know, it to me is as clear as day. I really don't see how that picture could be anything else. And you have somebody confirm that it was the same person they were playing with as a child. That's where my questions come in.
I want to go back a little bit.
Yeah, to tell. I mean, I'm throwing out a lot of stuff here.
Just because I can't get this out of my head now. You said perhaps people have different energies and like they just don't feed off that energy. And all I have in my head now is like the demon or the spirit being in the house, like fuck peppermint. I hate peppermint.
Like ants. Like spiders don't enter property if there's a line of peppermint. Yeah.
Why? Why peppermint?
I have no idea, man. Like I said, I mean, these are things that I heard. Like every energy gives off a different frequency. And Some demons can feed off of it. Some can't. Like I said, I mean, I'm not a demonologist. I don't know.
383 hertz. I don't know. Hate that.
It sounds ridiculous, man. I know it sounds ridiculous. Like, but I'm not an expert in this. I mean, this is just the research that I've done and what a lot of demonologists have said. You know, why that's a thing. I can't back that up with any facts because I don't have that. So take what I say with a grain of salt. But that's what I've heard.
Duly noted.
You know what I mean? So, like I said, I'm just, you know, I just re-quoting what I've heard. It's weird.
It's in my head now. That's all.
Yeah. But I mean, what are your takes on like the priest and, you know, the picture? I mean, because you've heard about both of these things. I really want to know if that kind of changes your thought process, because everybody knows you're a skeptic. But when those two things come to light, what is your thoughts on that?
I mean, my thoughts don't really change much, man. And, like, I feel bad sometimes because, like, I don't really, I don't know. I don't, I'm unfazed by a lot of it. And I feel like I always have the same opinion, but I do. And I'm not going to lie to people, and I'm not going to pretend to believe in something just because, for the sake of the show.
I would never want you to.
So sorry, guys. But yeah, like I still feel like there's a lot of psychological, things at play. It's also 1975, and I don't give a fuck what anybody says. That was the time of psychedelic drugs, man. That's like,
why does it always have to come into drugs, man? Like, you got to put that aside for a minute. You need to take out, cause that's bullshit. Because if that's going to be your explanation for everything, then that's not fair. Like, no, it really isn't, man. Because
a flying pig with red eyes outside the window.
I'm not talking about the family. I'm not talking about what the family saw. I'm talking about a picture that was taken. A picture was taken that has nothing to do with drugs. And I really doubt that the priest dropped LSD before he came to bless the house. So I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? Like, you've got to take the drug factor out of it because it's not fair. Like, you can't, that can't be your go-to for everything. Like what?
I was just getting started. That wasn't my go-to for everything. That was my go-to for the flying pig with the red eyes outside the window.
But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the priest and the picture. Like, focus on those things and explain that. Like, I don't think this guy, this priest was like, let me drop acid and bless the house. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think he did that shit. I don't think it happened.
First of all, you give the clergy too much fucking credit. Secondly,
here we go.
Secondly, I'm not ruling it out 100%, but let's say that there were no drugs involved.
Cool. Thank you.
There is a psychological factor here. Like there are things at play where, again, I think belief will give power to whatever it is that you're believing in. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I do, but I already have a rebuttal for that.
Go for it.
My rebuttal is that this priest had no knowledge of like this house being haunted. He went into the house to bless it.
But why would he be blessing the house? Answer that question.
Dude, that's not an uncommon thing to do. People still do that. It's a way of the church coming in and blessing the house with good energy and wishing the best for the family.
Correct, but what's the main objective? To ward off evil, correct?
If you don't believe
in evil and in the presence of evil spirits and things, then what's the whole fucking point of going and blessing a house? Do you understand?
But a house isn't the only thing that's blessed. Like, I wear a cross around my neck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Catholic. That's my religion. And I've had my cross blessed. It's not because I'm afraid of, it's not to ward off like evil spirits. It's the priest's way of taking his blessing from God and blessing the actual ornament. Right, like it's basically putting like the power of God, like you know, in the good fortune or the good vibes, basically, on that cross, and I've had it blessed multiple times. So, you know, if you have a Becca and I thought about having our house blessed because the priest would come in and bless the house and give us best wishes. You know, it's a positive thing. It's not because you're trying to prevent your house from being haunted or anything like that. So that's the reason behind that. So, I mean, I think they were just like, oh, can you come and bless the house? Like it's a normal thing to do. Like it's not as common as it was in the 70s. Or it has been, but I mean, like, they still do it. You know, like, so there's that.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
I mean, you asked me what I had to say about it, or what I thought,
no,
I was just saying,
I was just saying that's my rebuttal. That's my rebuttal. It's like, it's not, you know, there's that. But, and the picture, like, the picture is a picture. It's a picture, it's a picture. There's no psychological, like, thing behind that. You take a picture, and it is what it is. Like the mind doesn't control what the picture takes a picture of.
Like, I want to see the original.
That is the original.
That is not the original.
See, that's bullshit, man. Like, what do you mean the original?
Look,
see,
man,
right off the bat, you think it's not the real picture. Like, you can't do that. All right.
Look, here's
do that.
Here's what it's two things. One, I don't think it's the original. That shit is
so stupid.
No, I'm serious. It's doctored in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, back in 1975, they had Photoshop.
They had the equivalent of whatever the fuck Photoshop was back then. Like, they didn't have like the computers and shit like that to do it, but Photoshop came from somewhere, right? Photoshop came. The necessity for Photoshop came from people used to do that shit manually, and it was a lot of work, and Photoshop came around to make that work, you know, less cumbersome and easier and more convenient, faster, more precise. So yes, there were ways to manipulate photographs back then. However, we're looking at this photo now. I want to see the original photo from whenever the fuck that was, 1975. We're looking at this shit on YouTube. Right. And you're telling me that that's the original photo. That's not tampered with. It's not. We don't know. It's 2018 right now. Yes. Whatever we're looking at could be tampered with.
Why does it matter if it's 2018 or not? Like, and you're looking at it at YouTube. What do they have to gain from showing a photo? Like, look, you show a photo that was taken in 1975 and they zoom in and find a kid. What benefit do they have right now to gain from showing that photo? George and Kathy Lutz are both dead. The Amityville house has been sold to new owners, right? It's either you look at the photo and you believe it or you don't. If you believe it, it's not like Amityville is going to be like mad famous again. Like, it's just like a photo, bro. There's nothing to gain.
But what are we doing right now? What are we talking about?
We're talking about, but see, here's the thing.
You're talking about the Amityville horror.
Yeah, because
and the Amityville.
It's so interesting. It's very interesting.
Exactly.
It's a great topic to talk about.
Why is it interesting? Because of all the stuff that we're seeing and reading about it and all that stuff. And they could be drumming up interest in this thing. You know what I mean? They're keeping it interesting. They're keeping this alive.
Yeah, but that photo's been around for years, man. It's been around since it was taken in 1975. It's recently come to light more frequently because it was in a documentary that was done about Amityville where it was on TV and everybody saw the photo that was in there. And then that clip was taken off the documentary, put on YouTube, and then it kind of blew up again. So the photo's been around for years, but it wasn't brought to light until you had ways of actually transmitting video more easily. So I think it's always been there, just the masses hadn't seen it.
Listen, I'm not. Listen, if I want to see the original photo, is all I'm saying.
Well, that's not
going to
happen.
And if I see the original photo,
yeah,
and it's that kid with the fucking glasses on or whatever the fuck that is in his face, if it's that kid, then maybe I change my mind a little bit.
You don't find it odd at all that take the fact out that photo. I want you
me to pretend that it's real. Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
If it's real, yes, I'm freaked the fuck
out.
No, no,
no, no.
And it's scary. Yes.
That's not, I'm just saying that it's scary, but I'm just saying like, if that is a little kid in that photo, like what does that make you think?
It makes me think that, yeah, ghosts are real and fucking, yeah, my soul is damned for being such a dick all my life. What am I going to do? I need to fucking do something to turn myself around and be forgiven. And I don't know. What the fuck? Who knows? Yeah. Yeah, it's real.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real. I mean, I just think it's you fight so hard, I think, sometimes to be like, nah, it's drugs. No, it was 1975. It's Photoshopped. Like, so I'm going to fight you right back.
Dude, I'm telling you, dude. You're like, pretend this hat is a fucking mouse. What do you do? What would you do? What do you think? If that hat was a mouse, it's not a mouse. No, but what if it was? Like,
I'd be like, whoa, that's a cool
forget
mouse.
Forget the fact that it's a hat.
But I'm just saying, dude, like, I just, you always have to find a way to kind of like say it's not real. Like, that photo to me is all I need to see. That's okay. It. That's all for right. Me. I mean, that's me though. I mean, I have no desire to actually go like live in that house. I mean, I don't know. I just think that the fact that George Lutz's daughter basically said looked at the picture and was like, that is the same kid that I used to play with when I was a kid that I told you I saw, but nobody else could see. Mm-hmm. Like that. Why is she going to gain from saying that all these years later? She's moved on with her life.
Just kind of like a, I told you so dad kind of thing. Like, you know, her father showed her that she's like, ha, see?
Yeah. I don't know.
Told you there was a kid.
For me, I think it could be a couple different things. I think it could be...
Plus, she probably took a lot of shit growing up. There's no kid. There's no kid. Mary.
Yeah,
whatever,
I mean,
whatever the fuck her name is. Mary Lutz.
I think that it's either one of the young kids that were killed and murdered in the house. Their spirit is still there. And I also think it might have been a demonic presence in the house taking whatever form it wanted to take. And it could take the form of a kid because it could come off as harmless.
Mm.
But the fact that it was taken by a camera that just takes the photo and captures what it captures. You know, you can't really control what the camera picks up. And that's not like the first photo, man, that's picked up stuff like that. I mean, there's really famous photos out there where, you know, people take random photos and like in the background in a window, you see kind of like the shape of something when they weren't even focusing on that for the picture, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and those are hard to prove or disprove. I mean, you can't really say if it's real or not, but it picks up something that you didn't see with the naked eye.
Yeah. And like, that's the thing. Like, I can't say if it's real or it's not real, but like I need a little bit more to give my belief to something. Like,
you
got to show me, like, I don't want to watch it on YouTube. I don't want to see a documentary where somebody could have done whatever the fuck they wanted to do with that photo. I want to see the photo.
Yeah.
Show me the photo that you took. Show me the photo. Show me the negative. You know what I mean?
Let's develop it again. I would love to actually find out where that photo is so we could actually take a look at it.
Yeah. Like, somebody's got to have it. You know what I mean? If it's out there, somebody's got to have it. And it's like, you want me to believe? You want people to believe? You want more people to believe? Show me the evidence. Show me the proof that you have. You know what I mean? Why is it that nobody else can see this shit in real life? Right. You know what I mean? All the camera's doing is picking up the light that's being reflected. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's not like picking up special light. It's not like a infrared camera. It's a camera. It's picking up light that's reflected that we can see with our eyes. Why can't we see it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This shit is weird, man. Shit is weird. That's what this is all about. It's about the weird and the supernatural and the unexplainable. But if I can unexplain something,
mm-hmm.
that's what I'm doing. That's my job, man.
Right. I think one of the interesting things is that there's been a lot of kind of backlash recently where a lot of the things that they have found out about George Lutz and Kathy Lutz, George specifically, makes people think that this whole story was fabricated. For instance, right here. So there was a guy that actually interviewed George Lutz about Amityville. And I'm going to read some things, but this is basically what was said in this article that I thought was really interesting. He says, I began to ask questions. What actually happened to him and his family? George says that he simply can't describe the psychic phenomenon, but there are demons there. He even knows their names. And this reporter says, what are their names, I ask. George won't tell me. He claims they'll appear if he as much as mentions their names out loud. Reporter says, who told you that? George says, I read it in a book. I asked for him the title, but he can't remember. He's read so many books since they bought the house. Books on demonology, witchcraft, Satanism, ghosts, psychic phenomena. The list went on. And in all, in just a few short weeks or so, George claims. I press him about the demons, and he answers by reciting facts he has learned about demons and Satan worship. In a discussion about witchcraft, George mentions Ray Buckland, a prominent witch in the area who ran the witchcraft museum in Bayshore before moving to New England. I'm getting more suspicious by the minute. Didn't George just tell me that he knew nothing of the occult up until the past 2 months? Ray Buckland had been gone from New York for a year or two now. That would mean George had discussed the craft, as it is called, with one of the most knowledgeable witches in the country long before he bought the house. Dr. Kaplan's doubts about the veracity of Lutz's haunting were confirmed a year and a half later when he received a copy of the Amityville Horror. Reading it from cover to cover, he swiftly came to the conclusion that George had indeed done his witchcraft and demonology homework. The account was packed with every sort of ghost, ghoul, poltergeist, and demon, all of which employed every trick in the book to terrorize the Lutz family, but could not scare them into leaving for an entire month. The inconsistencies and fabrications Dr. Kaplan found include the following. And I'm going to keep reading this, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So, the complete exaggeration of the role a priest friend played in the whole drama. In the book, a priest character named Frank, Father Mancuso, is terrorized by a demon while trying to bless the new home. He is then stalked by the specter back to the rectory, where he is afflicted with boils, bleeding palms, stigmata, a fever, and the pervasive scent of excrement. In real life, a priest did bless the house and did have some concern about the possibility of a haunting. Both the real priest and rectory were unharmed by any such demon. Henry Barr, the scene of Butch's shocking revelation, is referred to as the Witch's Brew. An imaginary police sergeant named Gunfrido mentions that the police discovered the murders because Butch told the bartender a depiction of events that doesn't even come close to how they really occurred. The supernatural phenomena that Lutz is described witnessing is too wide-ranging, which is said that one home could possibly hold enough demons, spooks, and etc. to cause everything they say happened to them. For instance, George claims that a porcelain lion leapt from a corner of the living room and bit him on the ankle. George saw a ghostly vision of Ronnie DeFeo Jr.'s head floating in the cellar. George and his wife Kathy believe they saw the burned impression of a demonic hooded figure on their fireplace. Kathy levitated above their bed. Kathy looked in the mirror and saw a decrepit elderly woman looking back. The toilets backed up with a black smelly ooze, and the walls of the house were covered with slime. George and Kathy looked out the living room window and saw a floating pig with glowing eyes. In the end, the tale of horror and demonic possession was debunked by the Catholic Diocese of Rockville Center, the Amityville Police Department, William Weber, Butch DeFeo's defense attorney, U.S. District Court Judge Jack Weinstein, and even George and Kathy Lutz, who ended up recanting certain parts of their tale. The new owners of 112 Ocean Avenue in Amityville were disturbed by no other visitors than the hordes of curious onlookers and those convinced that theirs was a haunted house. This entire fabrication detracted from what was in the fact, the entire fabrication detracted from what was in fact the true horror of Amityville, the cold-blooded murder of six innocent people by one of their own family members.
Yo, everybody said it was bullshit.
Right.
Son.
Right.
I looked at that picture again. Yeah. And like, if you look really close, like if you zoom in, you got to zoom in. Mm-hmm. And it's, if you look really close and it's like right near where that boy is or whatever it is. If you look down a little bit, right on the floor is a fucking bong. And it looks like it was recently used.
Right, but what does that have to do with the actual what showed up in the picture? I'm just saying. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. I had read all that way before we were going to do this podcast. So I knew about all that.
About how everybody said it was bullshit?
Yep. And I actually waited to actually include that in the podcast until we talked about everything first.
Yeah.
So because I a lot of people did recant, right? But still, the priest has gone on record and saying that like he believed that the house was haunted. So there's I said, there's still that. And there's also that picture, though. Like, Ed and Lorraine Warren went in and set up a camera and it took pictures. It captured something. That's what they captured. So who knows if the stuff that happened to the Lutz family is actually true? I think, putting all that aside, I think that picture did pick up one of the kids that was killed in the house. That's what I think. That's always been my belief. Not necessarily that it's a demon, but it picked up one of the a picture of one of the spirits of one of the children that was murdered in the house that is still present there. That's what I think. Do I think all the shit that they say happened in the house happened? Probably not. Seems a little too far-fetched for me. Even as somebody who believes in ghosts, to have all that shit happen in one house? Probably not, right? The fact that they recanted a lot of their story, the fact that he knew a lot about demonology before he bought the house. You know, like how easy it is to talk to your wife and be like, yo, let's stay here for 28 days and then bounce. You know what I mean? Like mad dramatic. And then like, we'll write a book about it and see what happens. And it blew up to their surprise.
I'm almost willing to bet that all of it was because they bought the house, didn't know about the murders, found out about the murders, decided that they didn't want the house anymore, but couldn't get out of the loan and said, fuck it, we're getting out of here. This is how we're doing it.
It's a possibility. I mean,
I don't think it was for fame.
No, it's a really good theory.
I don't think it was for fame. I don't think it was for fortune to make money or to do any of that shit. I think it was like, yo, y'all sold us this house.
Mm-hmm.
There was a murder. Somebody murdered their entire family in this house.
Yeah.
Yo, ghosts. Demons, yeah. Like all this shit's happening. Yo, they fucking threw a bowl across the house. I'm not staying here. You know what I mean?
Give me yo, get that cereal out of here.
Give me my money back.
Threw a bowl across the house.
I'm not paying this loan, right? And that's what it comes down to. Yeah. And I think when the priest got there, I'm almost like I am sure. Look. If I want you to believe something and I want you to think something, I can drop enough fucking subliminal hints, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it feels really weird in here sometimes. You know what I mean? Like say little things like that and like, you know, walk around the house and be like, hey, you know, like, ooh, it's chilly over here in this spot. You know what I mean? Like,
having trouble breathing, I mean, yeah, that could be an anxiety attack, but I mean, how many houses has this guy blessed? And he just happens to have an anxiety attack in this one possible, but I don't know.
I'm just saying, man.
Trouble hearing voices. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, you get somebody in the other room. I'm just saying, if you have enough motivation, you can make up what you need to make up. And especially money, man. When it comes down to money and you're talking about like the cost of a house, I think they got it. I think they got the house cheap, didn't they?
Well, yeah, because
they got a steal.
It's cheaper than they. Yeah. Which is why they moved in. They were like, we got this house for this much. I don't know what the price was, but yeah.
Yeah. But still, I mean, house money is still a lot. Like it doesn't matter how much of a break you got. They still had to make their money off the house. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I believe that's what I think that was the motivation for making up whatever they made up. Even if there was some truth to it, man, like I said, I can't disprove it, but I can't prove it either. But like you said also, and like what you read, like there's way too much shit, mm-hmm. right? And I think the exaggeration comes from the desperation of wanting to get out of that loan.
So I can tell you that there was an update on this not too long ago. We actually had talked about it back in 2016. So in 2016, there was an article actually put out by Screen Rant where the house had been resold again. Basically it said that originally in 2010, when it was resold and bought, the asking price was $1.15 million. And it was actually bought for $950,000. That seller put the house back on the market in June of 2016, asking for $850,000. And from what I know, that it actually was purchased for that price and sold for that price again. One interesting thing about the house is that if you've ever looked up pictures of the Amityville house, one of the distinct figures or unique things about the house is that the windows are shaped almost like eyes, where it looks like the house has eyes, which kind of makes the house kind of creepy, knowing what you know about it. Before the house was bought in 2010, those windows have been changed to regular square windows.
Yeah.
So it's not as distinct anymore. The house is still on 112 Ocean Avenue. So if you drive by and know that it doesn't have those windows, you'll find it, right? And next time I'm in that area, I'm going to drive by and check it out. I'm not going to be disturbing to the people that live there now, but I will probably get out of the car and like take a picture or something. You know what I mean? And be like, oh, cool, I was here, you know, but, the fact that
you should go there with like mad Ghostbuster gear and just be like, oh, can I come in for a minute?
Yo,
hey, excuse me. I was just coming through the area and my team would like to just come in and examine a couple of the things that happen in your house.
I'll just like tap on a piano and have it, and I'll just be like, this drives me crazy. This is Ghostbusters reference. But no, I mean, like, I think it's I think it's interesting, you know, that house has been resold, the windows have been changed. It's such a famous house that, you know, people are still willing to pay that money for it. I think what they should do is whoever owns that house should just open it up as a museum and give tours.
Hi, I'm with the National Enquirer.
They make a ton of money doing that. You know what I mean? Like Amityville House now open for tours.
Is the National Enquirer still a thing?
I don't know.
I wonder if that shit's still around.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I'm with the National Enquirer. My last big story, you might know, it was about Batboy.
It's about Batboy. So that's basically the update on, you know, Amityville and that it was sold.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's a 5,000 square foot home, 5 bedrooms, 3.5 bathrooms, and it's a riverfront home. Because it actually had a, there's apparently some things that happened in the boathouse as well. Mm. So in the movie, they actually, in the one that was remade with Ryan Reynolds, they actually drove away from the house in the boat. In the original movie, they actually left in like a car.
Yeah.
And never went back. So
who knows? I would have left on foot.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, but if you had a car, that's faster. The other thing that I think is interesting is that, and this has been confirmed too, like the George Lutz looks a lot like Ronald DeFeo, like the guy who killed his family. It's like really weird. And he said that like he started to feel like Ronald DeFeo's like, or whatever, the demonic like force that was in the house was actually like he was starting to hear the same things that like Ronald DeFeo was hearing about like killing his family, which is why he realized like he needed to leave the house and like get the hell out of there before you did something stupid. So I don't know. I mean, like I said, a lot of this stuff they've kind of come forth and even recanted their story. So
you think they you think the spirit was like fucking just mistook him for Ronnie? I told you to kill your family. What the fuck?
So they're still alive. Oh,
you
wait.
Can't even do that right, Ronnie.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm
bring
still,
these vanilla motherfuckers up in here.
I think
you know I don't like vanilla.
I think I'm like 80-20 on Amityville, 80 being like that it didn't happen, 20 that there's something there. I do think there's something there because of the murders. Do I think that they actually experienced stuff in the house? Probably not. So that's basically my take on the Amityville horror.
It's funny to me that you don't smoke, man.
Why?
I'm just saying you should, man, because like when you smoke enough weed, there's something everywhere, bro.
Yeah, but I mean, like, but that means if I see something, like, I know it's, like, legit. So, you know, and then I can actually be like, yo, I saw something. And you can be like, yo, but you were smoking weed, right? And I'd be like, nope. I mean, I'm not going to let you actually have that against me. You were smoking weed, though. Yo, it was something. You saw something. Drugs, bro.
Yo, you know I will find a way. I will find a way to make not smoking weed the reason why you saw something.
What do you mean?
Huh?
What do you mean by that?
Like your brain is like fucking just, it needed a break because you wouldn't give it one.
You know what's funny though? I feel like you not believing things sometimes or having to rationalize it with is you're too scared to believe that something might be real like that. It scares you to think that it could be real. You have to find a way.
That sounds like some reverse psychology bullshit.
No, man. You have to find a way to prove that it's not real. Because if it was, because if it was real, how bad would that fuck with your head?
Son, I don't have to find a way. You have to find a way to prove that it is real is what I'm saying.
No, that's some reverse psychology bullshit. If I see something and I think it's real, then it's real.
No, I'm saying you have to find a way to prove to me that something is real. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with me being afraid or being scared or being whatever. Shit, I fucking went looking for shit, and couldn't find shit. So, you know what I mean? Like, just, you know, like
we need to go to my uncle's house.
Yeah. That
room, bro.
Yeah. Let's go to that room. I want to see that shit.
I want to see that shit. Yeah.
I'll poke that motherfucker in the eyes.
Then you come back with no arm.
No, I'll be like, I'll see these eyes and I'll just like boop. And that motherfucker will be like,
and then your hands will go right through the eyes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, who knows?
Oh, isn't that? That's what he said, right? That's what somebody tried to do that?
Somebody tried to reach out and touch it, and they could. There was nothing there. Yeah. It was just eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see.
So,
I'm in. I'm down. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So that's the Amityville Horror. I'm interested to know what you guys think, though.
Put it on the company card.
Yeah. Let's do it. I would love to know what you guys think. So make sure that. You know, you interact with our Twitter, our Facebook, you know, hit us up, guys, because we would love to know what you think about the Amityville Horror and if you think it's real or not. And check out that photo. We'll post it on our Red Beard Podcast Facebook page. It's going to be the photo of the episode. So you guys can actually take a look at it and kind of form your own opinions. I'd love to know what you think about the photo.
Word.
Word. So with that being said, we will see you guys in 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.
And we will be talking about the Winchester Mystery House.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Red Beard Podcast, which is part of the Nerd Ruckus Network. Please take a moment and like our Facebook page and share your thoughts on the episode as well as what you would like to hear us discuss. Also, give us a follow on Red Beard Podcast and Nerd Ruckus on Instagram and Twitter. And check out nerdruckus.com for all of our entertainment channels.